The Ozarks at Large podcast is made possible by KUAF's contributing listeners. Support from individual listeners in our community helps pay for the cost of producing and distributing this podcast. If you'd like to support this podcast and other digital media produced by KUAF, you can make a contribution at supportkuaf.com.
This is 91.3 KUAF, where you can find NPR news and NPR programs every day of the year. We've been able to bring you NPR news and programs since 1985 with your support. You can support us at any time of the day at supportkuaf.com. This is Ozarks at Large for Tuesday, December 5th, 2017. I'm Kyle Kellums. Today on our show, the militant grammarian finds a handful of obscure words and asks us if we can discern the meanings of those words. That's in the second half hour of today's show. First, Arkansas's parks now have an organization with a statewide focus on them. The Arkansas Parks and Recreation Foundation announced its formation last month. The Walton Family Foundation is providing initial support with a three-year, $310,000 grant. Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek spoke with Arkansas Parks and Rec Foundation Executive Director Suzanne Grobmeier about the newly created organization.
This is a relatively new foundation. Can you tell me what the mission is, why this came about?
Our mission really is very simple. It's to support, protect, and enhance places that provide exceptional recreational value in Arkansas. So that really spans from national parks, state parks, municipalities, but also to be the glue between all of those places.
So this model will allow private funding to go towards parks projects, which prior to that just wasn't allowed or just wasn't happening?
It just wasn't happening, I think. And that's half true. There are organizations that support specific initiatives, but there hasn't been one with a statewide focus to support quality of life initiatives. And I say quality of life particularly because we feel like there are a lot of things within that bucket that we can support. Whereas today, recreation might exist in one form. Maybe in the future that changes, and we're flexible to make those changes as well.
So what kind of initiatives and projects is the organization envisioning?
Today, I will say we're in our infancy. I think that I would say we're in a position to support a number of things. Out of the gate, we hope to announce a lot more about some projects we're not ready to announce today, but more in trail and connectability within urban cores. Those are two separate things. So you'll see some work here and hopefully some announcements in the near future on a trail that we will be building. And then you'll see hopefully some work we're doing in more urban centers around connection.
So in Northwest Arkansas, we have that trail development. We have a lot of great parks, but I don't know about the rest of the state, for example. There are so many parks. So overall, where do all the parks in Arkansas stand, and why do they need this kind of support?
You are very correct. Northwest Arkansas has been on the leading edge of parks and connection. And that really probably started in full earnest around the Greenway. And so I would say that one of the things that we're able to bring is best practices. So some of the things that are happening in Northwest Arkansas, we hope to share that throughout the state and to be a voice where, whether it's down in Southeast Arkansas, Central Arkansas, Northeast Arkansas, if they want to do similar projects to what are happening in Northwest Arkansas, we feel like we can be that voice to help connect ideas. And in the state of parks throughout the state, there are varied levels of funding, if you might imagine. Our state parks across the state are being funded, but to the level of new recreation and to bring new ideas to them, I would say that is an area that we can be helpful to bring some new recreational activities to state parks and to really maximize their potential. You know, some of the initial conversations we've had with municipalities is in being a voice in the community to champion quality of life as being an economic driver, not only something that's fun for citizens to do, but brings people and attracts people to the areas that focus on quality of life. And I think Northwest Arkansas is a place that shows that. And so we can help identify areas that could spur growth and then potentially help with funding.
Is the organization going to drive some of these ideas, or is it going to be a type of situation where someone comes to the organization with an idea and the organization finds a way to take that on?
I would say the latter. Today, because there are so many people doing this work, I don't know that we have to go and create new ideas today, because there are areas that we can certainly amplify. But the organization will evolve into crafting its own projects and its own sources of focus. And that's something we're doing in tandem. But I will say there are a lot of needs in the state. You know, Arkansas is a outdoor state, but I think that it has not necessarily fought for that title. And I think that with the beautiful four seasons, really limited snow and cold, rainy days, we have the opportunity to be out doing multiple types of recreational activity all the time. And that is something that we can capitalize on and help ignite some of these places that have recreational benefit and really try to move Arkansas to be the preeminent outdoor state.
So when you say you're going to champion projects, does that mean financially? Does that mean working with the communities to perhaps get people on board who aren't on board?
I think that some communities certainly have people, advocates, that are very well versed in what they need to be doing. Sometimes it is that connection of like-minded individuals and getting them all on the same page. So that's more of an advisory role that the foundation would have. But I do think our goal is to raise money to support these quality of life initiatives. And our hope is to be a funder of different initiatives throughout the state. And I think we have a varied board that is very well versed in different funding projects and municipal projects that can be great advisors.
The foundation is getting some support from the Walton Family Foundation to get off
Correct.
The ground.
As you are well aware, the Walton Family Foundation has a unique interest in quality of life in our state, and some of the work that we will be excited to announce, I think, in the future will flesh a lot of that out. But they have been wonderful support as we have developed into an actual organization. And the idea is that we will be a driver of much of what they have going on in terms of connectivity and quality of life and trails throughout the state. So we are going to be that extended voice, I think. There are a lot of organizations within Northwest Arkansas that they have supported that are doing a lot of work locally, and we're going to continue that, but also expand that.
You know, obviously, these are sort of the early stages of the organization.
Yeah.
So so let's take maybe 5 years, from now. Where does this organization see itself in terms of the other organizations and foundations that exist also to promote the outdoors and livability?
I would say in 5 years, this organization will have defined its focus. I would say at this point, that is a little bit, we can become what we are needed to be. and that is still revealing itself. We certainly are not in the business of creating something as competition to anything else. We want to be a partner to the organizations that exist, but I would say that we will be at that point defining our own projects, and hopefully working to create those, driving change in connectivity for cities, municipalities that they didn't feel like they could think outside the box and have big ideas, but maybe they feel a little bit more confident doing so once we're able to assist them financially as well as strategically as an advisor. I think you will see that state parks are going to have significant support from the foundation as well as municipalities, and that our organization will be a leader in the quality of life business, where we are working with businesses and leadership to help them impact the state positively for their workforce and for the people that live here.
So is it fair to say that this organization will stand out a bit maybe from others because it has a statewide scope, whereas...
I think that's a big part of it, for sure. And I've spoken with several smaller organizations, and by small, I mean scope, that have one part or one area or one city is their focus, and they're looking for partners. And sometimes that is in our particular expertise, or that really is in, we've been doing this a long time, and we want to refocus with shared partners. Because that, I have found that as I'm talking to people about different areas, there are other organizations working towards these things, but we do have a different lens because of that statewide nature. So, yes, I do think that is kind of what separates us.
And why did this moment feel right to start this organization? Why now?
That's a great question. And I think that I do think there's momentum in the state, and maybe that is driven by Northwest Arkansas. But as I've traveled around, I'm hearing more and more people want that. People, not exactly the same thing, but they see that Northwest Arkansas has taken a step to be a wonderful place to live, and that is outdoor focused.
Thank you very much for chatting with us about the Arkansas Parks and Recreation Foundation.
Thank you.
That was Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek speaking with Suzanne Grobmeier, the executive director of the Arkansas Parks and Recreation Foundation. According to figures from the Outdoor Industry Association, nearly 65% of Arkansas residents take part in outdoor recreation each year. The state's outdoor industry also accounts for nearly $10 billion in consumer spending annually, 96,000 direct jobs, and $2.5 billion in wages and salaries.
Hello, this is Rick Stockdell. This is a time of year to remember those nearest and dearest to you with a gesture, a gift, or a special time spent together. During this season of giving, remember your public radio station is your daily companion and most trusted source for essential news every day. Also, 91.3 is listener-supported and can't continue without the support of listeners like you. So support the programming that is near and dear to you during our upcoming on-air fundraiser starting next Monday at 6 a.m. And don't forget, you can double the impact of your gift by making it a challenge at KUAF.com/issue-challenge.
Ahead on Ozarks, John Brummett and Roby Brock consider what may happen if Senator Tom Cotton is offered and accepts the director's post at the CIA. They also talk about what the tax bill might mean politically and what is the status of a possible government shutdown.
Well, we've had it before. And we always come out of it, and somebody's a political loser and somebody's a political winner. Probably the Republicans this time. But we got to get this this budget bill passed, because they passed the tax cut bill by buying Republican votes by promising to do things in that, like DACA for Jeff Flake, and then Susan Collins extracted a public commitment in caucus from Trump that the Alexander Murray bill to restore the cost-sharing subsidies to Obamacare in exchange for doing away with the individual mandate, that was going to be done.
A conversation about politics both at home and away ahead on today's Ozarks at Large.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. Additional support provided by Highlands Oncology Group, helping patients fight the battle every day with a team of cancer specialists in both Benton and Washington counties. Services include American College of Radiology Certified Imaging Departments, infusion centers, pharmacy, clinical trials, and more. HighlandsOncologyGroup.com.
Eureka Springs will soon have its first hostel, an affordable tourist accommodation geared toward traveling students and recreationalists. As Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports, the Eureka Springs Hostel is the third to open in Arkansas.
Eureka Springs planning officials recently approved construction of an affordable housing complex uptown on Judas Street, developed and designed by local architect Terry McGuire. The three-story structure will feature condominiums for purchase or lease. And the first floor will be a hostel established especially for visiting students, hikers, and cyclists. Investor Kenton Chiara will own and manage the hostel.
I believe the square footage of the hostel is probably, I think it's about 1,400 square foot, and now the units, the condo units, range between 390 square foot for the studios and 455 square foot for the one-bedroom studios.
Hostels are low-cost communal guest housing, common across Europe, where traveling sightseers rent a bed and share kitchen and bathroom quarters. Now, Eureka has lots of guest accommodations, but this is the first hostel in Eureka, and the cost per night?
A good price structure, $26 per night per person. And I was thinking about incorporating a few rebates for maybe $2 off per person per student, and maybe $2 off if you show up with a bicycle or a backpack.
Only two other hostels operate in Arkansas, the Little Rock Firehouse Hostel, which features men's and women's bunk dorms, and Herm Home Farm and Hostel in Parthenon outside of Jasper in Newton County. Chiara will own two ground floor condos. A more studio and one bedroom condo will be built on the second and third floors. Construction will start up early this winter. Estimated opening of the hostel this spring. Chiara says his hostel will feature a great room, lockers, and group sleeping quarters with 8 beds to start.
It's not just going to be army barrack cots. You do have bunks in its communal area, and each bunk has recharging stations. It has curtains for privacy to close yourself up in, and I believe we're designing the bunks. They're going to be about 7 foot long and plenty of height room. I don't remember the exact height. And each bunk has its own exhaust, sort of like in a airplane exhaust system.
Chiara has traveled the globe, he says, and says hostels are the way to go.
Well, I've traveled quite a bit in my life. I've traveled all throughout the United States, Canada, Mexico, Australia, and I've stayed at plenty of hostels. My reason for wanting to do a hostel in Eureka Springs is basically there's a need for it. There's no hostels here. It's pretty basic. There's no hostels in Eureka Springs. It's a tourist area, and the I-49 corridor is expanding, and there's just a need for it, I believe.
And Eureka's first hostel is centrally located.
It's about a block and a half to downtown, and about a block to all the other amenities if you have to walk. to the grocery store, the health food store.
The complex was recently approved by Eureka Springs Planning Commission after lots of discussion on how to categorize a hostel for code. David Renko, professional trail builder who hosts an annual mountain bike festival in Eureka Springs, says three major recreational trail projects are under development in town, so the time for hostels in Eureka Springs is just right.
Lake Littlewood has new trails coming, and the in-town trail development has been on the priority list, and several pieces are being added to the maze and puzzle of the community. So it'll come at a perfect time when Eureka is about to experience a trail boom. This kind of facility would be a perfect marriage for the recreational opportunities they're trying to provide for their constituents and visitors.
Eureka's first bed and breakfast was established in 1980, a novelty back then, much like this hostel. Today, Eureka counts around 30 B&Bs, along with an estimated 70 cottages and cabins permitted as quaint tourist lodging. So hostels could quickly become a trend in Eureka. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
2017 may be the best year ever for easily bored political junkies. There's no time to become fatigued with any single political scandal, development, or predicament. This week, Roby Brock, with our partner Talk Business and Politics, covered two U.S. Senate-related topics that developed in just the past few days in his regular conversation with John Brummett, a political writer for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. One, the early Saturday morning passage of a massive tax bill, and two, the speculation last week that Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton might leave the U.S. Senate to take over the CIA, a possibility first raised by a front-page story in the New York Times.
It would take a year that may not be much other than seeing if the red tide continues or whether the Democrats can kind of rebound a little in niches. It would be great fun to see whom ASA would appoint, if, say, Cotton gets the CIA appointment in January, whom ASA would appoint as the placeholder for a year, and who might get that, and to see the competition. Well, you want to see backroom competition. You ought to be probably in the governor's office when people are coming to ASA saying, I think my career needs to be capped off by my service in the United States
Senate. I would
be doing
you a service.
Right. And then we would have a special election to complete the term, which would then be up in 2020. So we got bang, bang, bang. And I had a leading Republican tell me the other day, I was asking him about Steve Womack, whether he would run, or French Hill or others. He said, John, it may be 11 or 12, four or five serious, and then a bunch of these others.
It'd be like 2010.
Yeah, the comparison that he made. It would be, and then the Democrats, what are they going to do? We had a little flurry of activity last week. Somebody said to me, the Democrats could compete. BB could still compete. And so I called BB. He was on the golf course, of course.
Of course.
And he said, man, I can't. He said, what in the world has happened? I can't complete a golf hole for people call and ask me if I'm going to run for the Senate. I had to explain, and he said he really wasn't up on Cotton and Trump and the CIA and that sort of thing. He's not going to do it. He's not going to pull a Brett Favre. But it'd be fascinating. Steve Womack would be an obvious choice from Congress to run for the Senate in the special election, except he's on a leadership track in the House, and they might not. French Hill, second district congressman, would be a safer bet year to election to election as a senator than having to fight the Pulaski County Democratic strength. Tim Griffin, not one to pass up an opportunity, or at least would like to be mentioned about it.
There's a deep bench on the Republican side.
No kidding. They've got, yeah. A deep bench is what you have when you hold every office in sight.
That's right.
So it would be great fun. It would keep us in something to talk about.
You left Bart Hester's name out of that. His name's been floated out there.
Do you know?
Too,
so. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because I tend to forget about him. I spent the day the news broke about Cotton. I spent the day on the phone with Republicans, and what I told about on the sixth call, I said to somebody, "What I've learned today is to take Bart Hester seriously, because I think of him as a young, inconsequential state senator who was a baseball player for the Razorbacks." That's how he is the Koch brothers' favorite. He's a friend of Tom Cotton. He is ambitious. He would have great resources if he ran. They say he makes a good presentation. So He's in the mix, too.
Let's turn our attention to some other things happening at the national level. We have got the president endorsing Roy Moore now through Twitter. We have everything that unfolded on Friday with the Flynn indictment and acceptance of that potential charge there. Do you see a boiling point starting to brew here where Republicans and Democrats are not going to be able to communicate pleasantly anymore?
Are they now?
They're not, but I'm asking you, can it get worse?
Yes, yes. I guess that it can, but not on that basis. I just think the natural progression of sentiment has been in that direction. I'm not sure what Trump's relationship with Mitt Romney has to do with whether Republicans and Democrats can get along.
Well, you got Republicans and Republicans not getting along, too.
Yeah, well, I think that's the bigger story. Lindsey Graham was saying we got to somehow pass this tax cut bill to save the Republican Party because we're holding together three Republican parties by a Band-Aid. I think that's actually true.
What are the three?
I don't know.
You've got I know what two of them are.
You've got the evangelicals, you've got the business conservatives, then you've got the fusion defense conservatives. There are three.
Okay.
And then you've got establishment, and then you got Trump, and then you got Tea Party. They overlap, but there are six things that that are in the pot. I think Roy Moore is going to get elected to the Senate. I never really thought that he wasn't, and he is. If the few speeches you see him making from the stump in Alabama anymore, he's as disparaging or as ridiculing of Republicans as he is of the Democrats. Why? Well, Mitch McConnell and the Republican leadership wanted him to drop out of the race, so they don't support him. So it's our politics. Are there stages? Are there levels of dysfunction? I guess there are. I mean, dysfunction is dysfunction, but I think we are at threat of an era of dysfunction plus.
Well, the timing on that could be a huge factor in that we just have seen this tax bill pass the U.S. Senate. It's got to go to a conference committee for a reconciliation now, and you've got a looming deadline to pass a budget now that is going to require some Democratic votes in the Senate side.
You got to get to 60 on the Senate side to avoid a government shutdown.
I'm predicting
a shutdown.
I predicted it will happen. So,
well, we've had it before. And we always come out of it, and somebody's a political loser, and somebody's a political winner. Probably the Republicans this time. But we got to get this budget bill passed because they passed the tax cut bill by buying Republican votes by promising to do things in that, like DACA for Jeff Flake, and then Susan Collins extracted a public commitment in caucus from Trump that the Alexander Murray bill to restore the cost-sharing subsidies to Obamacare in exchange for doing away with the individual mandate, that was going to be done. So they've got obligations, not bipartisanly. The Republicans got to tend to their own obligations to each other to see if this gets done.
And I think it's kind of coming down to this argument here. I think Republicans passing that tax bill in particular, there was this effort to do it to show we can govern, we can pass legislation. But there could also be the drawback of we can pass legislation, therefore we can govern. Look at what we passed and the potential harm to middle-class voters or, if some of the things that they're predicating the success of big corporate income tax cuts doesn't come to fruition.
Right.
You got some potential fallout here.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And I think what they passed early Saturday morning is at present, a clear political loser. I mean, I think, and you may know more about how this happens than I can figure out because I'm not up there doing on-site reporting. But two conservative Republican senators thought that small businesses ought to get a break like corporations do, and therefore let's find a new way to tax pass-through income. Mm-hmm. In the course of doing that, by these little amendments they're writing in the margin late Friday night, they have given a tax break to hedge fund billionaires who have a lot of pass-through income. Trump, apparently, many of his businesses are pass-through income. But at the same time, they exempted professional services people like lawyers and accountants from this reduction of 39 to 26 in tax and pass-through income, their top rate. A guy out here got a landscape lighting business, grossing $90,000 a year. He's not going to get to 39% anyway. He gets nothing out of that. hedge fund billionaires get millions upon millions. Well, how do they come to do that? Do they set out to do that, Republicans, I mean, or do they just fall into it?
I would contend that the consequences of, first of all, whatever comes out of conference is going to be the bill that gets voted
right.
on.
So there's a lot of comes out. I bet that comes
license
out.
For this thing to change over the course of the next couple right. of weeks. But I think until the rubber hits the road, until when people start filing their taxes and seeing how it impacts them, they're not going to vote till they see that they've either been helped or hurt.
Roby Brock with Talk Business and Politics talks with John Brummett, a political writer for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, almost every week. This week, they also discuss the economics and politics behind a search for a new head football coach at the University of Arkansas. You can hear the entire conversation at talkbusiness.net. And you can also find John Brummett's columns, including a digital-only Wednesday column, at arkansaonline.net.
It's that time of year again. Our annual Christmas show is tonight at the Fayetteville Public Library. We'll have musical performances by Bernice Hembry and the Squashers. Other guests include Becca Martin Brown from the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette and the Fayetteville-based storytelling group That's What She Said. We'll also hear a reading of How the Grinch Stole Christmas by the host of Later with Jason Sewell. Admission is free, and we'll be collecting non-perishable food and personal hygiene items for the Bentonville-based nonprofit Pearl. The show starts at 6:30. Hope to see you there.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kelms. Just ahead on today's Ozarks, the militant grammarian Catherine Sherrills will tell you why you may have had a zarf in your hand earlier today. She's brought us a list of words we didn't know existed. That's ahead on today's Ozarks at Large. Arkansas's individual income tax collections for last month are higher than expected, pushing state revenue for November to be above forecast. The Department of Finance and Administration reports the state's net available revenue in November totaled $379 million. That's $1.7 million below the same month last year, but nearly $9.5 million more than had been forecast. But for the fiscal year that began in July, Department economist John Shelnut says the state is below forecast.
Year to date, we are still $26.8 million below forecast on net available, with a year-over-year growth rate of $20.8 million, or 1%. And in terms of gross revenue, which is collections, we're up 1.6% over a year ago.
Friday, Governor Asa Hutchinson's administration cut the revenue forecast by $22 million, but did not cut the state's projected $5.4 billion budget. Three area banks are establishing a partnership designed to spur development in Springdale in agreement with the city's downtown master plan. Arvest Bank, First Security Bank, and United Bank will work with the Downtown Springdale Alliance to make $30 million available to both small business owners and investors. Projects that could benefit from financial support include renovations of existing structures, new construction, or a new business service that falls within the parameter of the master plan. Qualified plans will still have to be subject to credit approval by individual banks. The chairman of the Milken Institute will be the featured speaker at next month's annual Business Forecast Luncheon in Rogers. Michael Milken will address the luncheon, sponsored by the Center for Business and Economic Research at the University of Arkansas. There will also be a moderated discussion with Milken after his speech at the event on January 24th. The University of Arkansas is no longer searching for an athletic director. The university is hiring Hunter Juracek, the current vice president for athletics at the University of Houston. He has agreed to a 5-year contract paying $850,000 a year. Little Rock-based Dixie Cafe is closing all of its 17 restaurants as of tomorrow. In a statement, the company says declining sales, mixed with a difficult operating environment for full-service, family-oriented restaurants, made this a necessary decision. Dixie Cafe has 14 restaurants in Arkansas and Tennessee, and 3 restaurants called Delta Cafes located in Oklahoma. The company's been in operation for 35 years.
And Grammy-nominated comedian Jim Gaffigan is coming to Northwest Arkansas in June. The Walmart Amp is adding him to the 2018 lineup for a Saturday, June 2nd show. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10 a.m., and ticket prices cost between $30 and $99. Tickets may be purchased at the Walton Arts Center box office, at amptickets.com, or by calling 443-5600. Members of an Arkansas committee will be holding three hearings over the next 2 weeks to finalize changes to a new Ten Commandments monument at the Arkansas State Capitol. Daniel Breen with our partner station KUAR has details.
Freedom! Arkansas made national headlines when a Van Buren man destroyed the state's previous Ten Commandments monument less than a day after it was unveiled. Michael Reed live-streamed himself driving his car into the 6-foot-tall, 6,000-pound granite slab in the early morning hours last June. A subcommittee of the Capitol Arts and Grounds Commission will hold two public hearings to review changes to the base of the new monument, including possible barriers to prevent any future attacks. The public will be allowed to comment on the changes at the second meeting set for Thursday after the subcommittee approves the proposal at the first meeting on Tuesday. Following that, the American History and Heritage Foundation will present the changes to the full Arts and Grounds Commission on December 12th. State Senator Jason Rapert sits on the foundation's board and spearheaded the construction of the previous monument. The Conway Republican says the hearings are the final step before the new monument is installed.
The monument itself has been completed now for probably a few months, and everything is just hinged on what they're going to do with security posts around that monument, which it's very sad they're needed, but we just don't want somebody to try to replicate the exact same thing.
Rapert sponsored a bill approving the monument's construction that passed the state legislature in 2015. Numerous advocacy groups, including the Arkansas ACLU, opposed the monument's construction, which Senator Rapert categorized as, quote, foolhardy. In Little Rock, I'm Daniel Breen.
This is Ozarks at Large.
Walton Arts Center presents the Broadway musical Finding Neverland, beginning December 19th and running through the 23rd. The production tells the story behind the character, Peter Pan. Playwright J.M. Barrie finds inspiration in four young brothers, their widowed mother, and their make-believe adventures. WaltonArtsCenter.org or 443-5600 for tickets. The Fayetteville Farmers Market moves indoors for the winter. Winter holiday markets will be held Saturday mornings, 9 a.m. until 1 p.m., at Ozark Natural Foods Co-op in Fayetteville. These indoor markets are 100% local and offer holiday gift ideas and farm-to-table meals. Information at FayettevilleFarmersMarket.org.
This is Ozarks at Large. With me inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio are Milton Grammarian, Catherine Sherrills. Welcome back.
Hi, Kyle.
Hello.
You know, you may remember some of these little quizzes about naming things that you use every day but didn't know the names of.
Mm-hmm.
The two I remember are what you call that dangly thing at the back of your throat.
Oh, the punching bag?
Oh, yeah.
In cartoons? Yeah, the uvula.
Uvula, right. And what about that thing at the end of your shoelace?
I actually know this. Aglet.
Aglet. Yep. You do. Those are the only two I remember. There are whole lists and lists mm-hmm. of them. But here are some words that I'd never heard before.
Okay.
And they have specific names for things we may never have known that had names. Okay. What is a petrichor?
What is?
Or what is not a. What is petrichor?
Petrichor is what happens to milk in pasteurization? I don't know. I'm going to guess.
I thought you were headed there.
Oh.
Just because you were saying what happens when. It's how it smells after it rains.
Oh, I love that.
Isn't that nice? Petrichor.
We all know what that means. Yeah.
Petrichor.
Petrichor.
It's spelled petrichor. Okay. Petrichor, you would
I
think,
like
but
that.
It's petrichor. It's from the Greek Petra, mm-hmm. or Petra, stone, and ichor, the blood of Greek gods and goddesses. The term was coined by two Australian researchers in 1964.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a familiar word to fans of Doctor Who.
Well,
are
just,
you?
No, apparently
okay.
not. No.
Okay. It was once used as a password to open the TARDIS's control room.
So a TARDIS, this I think
know
I know.
That. I don't know that.
I think that's a, you know what? I'm not going to try because I don't get all these emails. But I think it's those portals, or I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
Well, you can also buy a perfume inspired by this delicious scent if you're interested. Chanking.
Chanking is when you wake someone up by making a loud noise.
Do you like olives?
Oh, I love olives.
Do you like real olives that haven't been processed? I mean,
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know if I've
pitted.
Ever.
Oh, do you eat, you eat non-pitted olives?
Well, I eat non-pitted, but if I'm at somebody's house and they have the pitted ones, I don't eat those too.
Sure,
I love
sure.
olives.
Yeah. Well, chanking is the food that you spit out.
Oh, okay. That's right.
It kind of sounds chanking,
yeah.
doesn't
yeah.
it? Yes. As a verb, it means to eat noisily.
Oh, okay.
Smacking, I suppose.
Sure.
Now, here's a word that, you know, why do you have that when you got a perfectly good word? Armsays, or perhaps it's armsays. I'm not sure. It's A-R-M-S-A-Y-E-S.
Armsays is to shoot a cannon off of a ship.
If you put your shirt on backward, so first of all, you got to put your shirt on backward
all
to
right.
use this, right?
All right.
You have your arms in the wrong armsays. Or armholes.
Or sleeves?
Yeah, armholes, sleeves, whatever.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm sure maybe in the fashion world that gets used.
Maybe, perhaps.
You know, yes.
If you're putting something on backward, yeah. Okay, Kyle, who's the first person, other than Laura, you see when you walk out the door in the morning?
Oh, you know what? It's usually people walking their children to elementary school down Leverett Avenue.
Okay.
Or, I mean, Lafayette.
Whoever that person is your qual tag.
So Katie Mihalovich is my qual
your
tag.
Your qual tag,
all
yes.
right. Very good.
Traditionally, the word was used to define the first person you greeted in the new year.
Ooh, I like that.
I like it. I think I like it better for New Year. Yeah. I'm into those kind of you know, things. Zarf.
Gesundheit.
Fun to say.
Zarf is a pizza with pineapple on it. It makes me want a zarf, but go ahead.
Well, if you eat that, are you likely to drink coffee with it? Are you a coffee drinker?
I love coffee.
Okay. Are you also a styrofoam hater?
I am.
Good. Well, the alternative is what then? When you go out for coffee and bring it back, what do they put it in?
It's one of those sort of paper cups.
Yeah, cardboard paper cup. Mm-hmm. And what's the problem with that?
Well, it can be really hot.
Yes. And so that little cardboard sleeve that you put around it is a zarf.
So the next time I go to Arcega's, I'm just going to say, oh, and can I get an extra zarf just to see what they do?
Exactly.
They probably usher me to the door faster.
It was originally a metal chalice meant to prevent the heat from your coffee from burning your fingers.
Okay, I like that.
It's
a zarf.
Word, zarf. Kyle, here's one. You had to look at my face. Glabella.
I'm going to guess it's the point between your eyes.
It is.
Oh, now, folks, I didn't know that. And if you hadn't said look at your face, I wouldn't have known that or guessed that.
People with expressive faces often end up with wrinkles in their glabella, the space between the eyebrows.
Glabella. Okay.
Glabella. Sometimes it's not so bella.
Yeah.
Okay, you know this word, F-E-A-T.
Fate.
Feet.
Oh, F-E?
F-E-A-T.
Yeah. Feet. Feet.
So what's
yes.
a F-E-A-T?
You know, like an achievement.
Yeah. Well, aside from being an act requiring great strength, it also describes a dangling curl of hair.
So Clark Kent has
had a feet. Like a lock or a tendril.
Okay.
Finally, Kyle, a word that we should be using these days because
yes.
in the current political climate, there's lots of it.
Okay.
Rower back.
That means to take the queen back across the Thames. How do you say that?
Thames, I think.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. To take the queen back across the Thames.
No. A rower back is a damaging lie made publicly known for political effect.
Oh, yeah, we've got a lot of those.
Usually in reference to a candidate who's running for office.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
So now, Kyle, you can impress your qual tag with the latest roarback.
And get my extra zarf.
Yeah.
Catherine Sherrills is our militant grammarian. It took almost 28 years, but I found a reason to get the Hutsut song on Ozarks at Large. That, by the way, the band The Merrimax. This is Ozarks at Large.
Now the Rawson is a Swedish town, the Railroad is a stream, the Brawler is a boy and girl, the hot side is their dream.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is Lee Wood, who is two things that we need to know about today. One, the membership director. I'll ask you about that in a moment.
Okay.
Membership director at KUF. Two, the producer and host of the Vinyl Hour, heard Sunday evenings at 5 on KUAF. Three, we'll start with that hat first.
Okay. This is sort of a good news, bad news. You want the bad news first.
Sure.
Well, it's not really bad news, but it is. This show on Sunday is going to be the memorial show for 2017. It's apparently just something that we need to do every year because we're losing so many influential artists that just pass away each year.
Well,
we need
odds
to take
are,
some,
right?
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. Apparently it happens to everyone.
Yes.
But we need to take some time to remember and listen to the music that these incredible artists left us. So that's what we're doing.
So Tom Petty comes to mind, of course.
Tom Petty passed away, and Tom Petty actually had his own show. We did do a show for Tom Petty, but I'm sure we'll mention him again and probably listen to some music. Glenn Campbell, of course, mm-hmm. passed away this year, and also we spent some time talking about him. But because, again, he's in Arkansan, I really think we need to listen to some more songs and talk a little bit more about him. Chuck Berry passed away this year.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, which sparked an interesting conversation here around during the Vinyl Hour about art and the people who make it. And then there's been some other deaths that I just haven't been able to address. Chris Cornell. Mm-hmm. Greg Allman, Malcolm Young, who just passed away recently from AC/DC, Fats Domino. So some really some influential artists, and then Walter Becker, which still I'm really sad about, from Steely Dan. So quite a few people will be remembering them, learning a little bit about their lives, listening to the music that they left us, and sort of spending some time paying homage to them.
That's Sunday evening at 5 on KUAF 3.
Yes.
Now.
Yes.
Your other responsibility here, membership director.
Let me put my other hat on. Yes.
I bring that up because beginning Monday, it's fundraiser time.
It is. It's the season of giving.
That's right.
You know, we say the season of giving sort of as a little bit of a label, but it's really true, especially, I mean, not just in this building, but in December, we have the KUAF Holiday and Friends, or KUAF Friends Holiday giveaway, excuse me. We also have the Giving Tree, where we collect donations for a local charity, nonprofit. And of course, everywhere else around, December is the time when people are giving gifts to one another. They're remembering the charitable causes that are important in their life. They're giving gifts to the people who help make their lives better, babysitters, teachers, mailmen, all kinds of things. So we want to participate in this and just remind our listeners that we are a nonprofit. We are able to do what we do because of listener support, and that we hope they remember us when they are giving gifts to the things that are nearest and dearest to them.
Vinyl Hour, Sunday evening at 5 on KUAF 3, Season of Giving, beginning Monday morning at 6. Lee Wood, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Kyle.
I'm Robin Young. 2 months after the Northern California wildfires destroyed thousands of homes, homeless advocates are seeing a second wave of homelessness.
Landlords who maybe lost their home in the fire have a second unit they were renting, and those people who are in that rental are being evicted so that they have a home to live while they rebuild.
That's next time, here and now.
This afternoon from 3 to 6 on 91.3. And tomorrow on Ozarks at Large, Arkansas historian Guy Lancaster has edited a new book of essays about the history of lynching in Arkansas.
Lynch mobs, in many respects, assume the role of the state. They aim to terrorize a larger population.
The collection, titled Bullets and Fire, Lynching and Authority in Arkansas, 1840 to 1950, on tomorrow's Ozarks at Large at noon and 7 p.m., on 91.3 KUAF. You can also subscribe to us as a podcast through services like iTunes and Stitcher. You can find us on the KUAF app, and we're also available through NPR One.
Walton Arts Center welcomes Tavis Smiley and his multimedia presentation of Death of a King, the real story of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s final year, Friday, February 23rd. Tavis and jazz pianist Marcus Roberts narrates this joyful tribute commemorating the 50th anniversary of King's death. Patrons may reserve up to 4 free tickets with a $5 processing fee. WaltonArtsCenter.org or 443-5600 for tickets. SONA, the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas, continues its 63rd season December 16th with two performances of its annual Christmas concert at Walton Arts Center. Performing a mix of holiday favorites under the baton of Maestro Paul Haas, musicians will be joined on stage by the SONA singers, area choruses, and special guests. Tickets at 443-5600 or sonamusic.org.
A service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is 91.3 KUAF. Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Rogers. Celebration tonight in downtown Rogers for the anniversary of the opening of the Victory Theater in downtown Rogers. It was 90 years ago the Victory Theater first opened. It's been a vaudeville theater. It's been a movie theater. Now it is the home for Arkansas Public Theater. And Arkansas Public Theater hosting tonight's celebration of the 90th anniversary of the opening of the Victory. They'll have all sorts of events going on, including a Will Rogers interpreter talking about the relationship that Will Rogers had with the city of Rogers. And then Friday night, Arkansas Public Theater opens up its latest production. That is Christmas Story. You can find out more about tonight's events, the Victory Theater, and Christmas Story production at arkansaspublictheater.org. Also tonight, across the street from the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio, will be the annual Ozarks at Large Christmas show. We'll be recording it inside the Fayetteville Public Library. Live seasonal music from Bernice Hembry and from the Squashers. You're invited, by the way. It's absolutely free. We'll also have Jason Sewell from the television show Later with Jason Sewell. He'll be reading How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Becca Martin Brown, our friend from the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette, a regular guest on Ozarks at Large, will be with us. She'll be explaining 12 reasons you should be looking forward to 2018. And we're going to have a holiday-themed story from the local storytelling group, That's What She Said. Plus, rumor has it, Hot Cider from Arcega's, Candy Canes, and more. Antoinette Grajeda and I will be there along with Timothy Dennis recording it so you can hear it later if you can't be with us. It all starts at 6:30 tonight. It's free. You're invited with your entire family. It'll last about an hour, hour 15 minutes. If for some reason you can't make it to the Fayetteville Public Library tonight, we will have it on later this month as an edition or two of Ozarks at Large. Thanks so much for spending part of your Tuesday with us. Sure hope we see you tonight at the Fayetteville Public Library for the Ozarks at Large Christmas show. I wish you as kisses today. Oh, I wish you as kisses today. I wish you as kisses today. Oh, all I know is the Santa Claus. Don't care about writing or reading laws. I wish you as, I wish you as. I don't care what your daddy says, Christmas is full of cheer. I don't care what the newsman says, Christmas is almost here. I don't care about anything, except hanging those sleigh bells, ring a ding ding. I wish it was Christmas today in the good old US of A. Oh, I wish it was Christmas today. I wish it was Christmas today. I wish you was, I wish you was, I wish you was.
Thank you.